Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go, folks.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is... Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir. In the nation.
Yo, America, what's happening?
You can't see me.
Five nuggets shuffle.
Woo! Oh, man. Got my crew in here. Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. It's a Monday, August the 8th, 2016. What an awesome opportunity once again to be talking sports with you. I would love to introduce my cohorts. Obviously, like the relay team, we're bringing in gold. But a pass to the baton, like we always do. First and foremost, got to kick it off with Mr. JQ. Jaquan, how you doing this evening, sir?
Trying to recover from my state's colossal fail yesterday, and that Eminem coming in just made me think, if Drake by chance, one of you or your friends is listening to the podcast, you do not want it with Eminem. Please pull back from any attempts to start a beef with Eminem. That's not what you want, Drake. Don't do it, bro. You're going to get embarrassed.
Okay. Fair enough.
Just saying. I had to put out there. PSA.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. We will do that. But I feel the love, bro. And I guess kind of moving forward, I'm not going to start any, like, crazy battles. But, Mr. Robert, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Ready to get this show started. We got a lot of topics. Let's get right to it.
That was like a delay with Rob. Like, you know, if I was passing the baton, that would have been a little, you know, we got to make sure that exchange is a little cleaner there, Rob. But,
yeah, you got to stick. You got to be like, stick. You know, you
got to
get it
so you can
hear it.
Oh, man.
It's all good. Let's get this party started like we always do. The number to call the show is always 424-243-9519. We're on Twitter. If you follow us, go to the number at the number 12, THMAN Sports, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. You will find us in that arena. And last but not least, on Facebook. You go to facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12th man or 12th man sports. If you type it in, you will find us as well. Gentlemen, let's kick it off, man. We got a lot of topics to discuss. The Olympics are on hand. Robert, thank you for the topics, as always. So we'll kick it right off with the 4x1 relay in men's swimming. USA win gold. This is a pretty epic moment for a pretty decorated athlete in Michael Phelps. And I'm sure we'll talk about this. And so I guess we'll kick it off with you, Rob, just a great time to see the USA kind of kick it off and kind of get the party started with that too. So the floor is yours, Rob.
Making America.
Well, yeah, it was an outstanding event last night. And so definitely made the USA proud of bringing home the 4x100 relay in men's swimming. Obviously, Michael Phelps winning his 19th gold medal. It's incredible from an Olympic standpoint. So definitely congratulations, making the U.S. feel good.
JQ?
Yes, sir, man. Michael Phelps, with all his cup marks on his shoulders, is out there. That turn, I believe, the second leg of that turn was just ridiculous, bro. I don't want to kill the lead to the next topic, but yeah, that, like you said, 19 gold medals. I mean, just think about that. That means you can give your mama one, you give your cousin one, your sister one, you know, give your coach two. You still sitting on like 14, 15 gold medals. Like, that's just ignorant. There's nothing else to be said about it but 19 gold medals.
Yeah, man. And like you said, I mean, you made some good points about him even cupping that new technique as far as that they were talking about trying to, like, get the athletes for as well, too. That's going to be pretty popular in the future, too. Everyone's going to be doing that. But, yeah, just to kind of definitely piggyback on both of you guys, 19, that's a huge accomplishment. I think right now he could possibly put him up as the greatest Olympic athlete ever because, you know, once people get older, guys, you think they start to slow down. But this guy, as you said, JQ, man, they were in third. He hits that turn, and next thing you know, he just leads them to first. So it was a done deal, man. So just What a great accomplishment. And I'm going to throw it back to
Robin. Hard to believe
you're doing
that at 31 years old.
Yeah, that's the thing that's amazing, too. You know, most of the time you start doing that you know, as you get older, it becomes harder to train and, you know, you lose focus. And not because it's bad, it's because, you know, Father Time is always tough to catch every athlete, but he's just as good now. He can probably keep going. And I dare to say maybe got one more Olympic in him for sure. And I'm going to throw it back to you, Rob, but I'm going to ask a question, too, and I want you guys to think about this as well. Some of your favorite Olympic moments, if you will, if you want to think about that, you know, real quickly, not like two or three, just kind of one that you think, and maybe we're kind of thinking the same thing too. But, you know, Rob, is Michael Phelps the greatest Olympic athlete ever, in your opinion?
I'm going to say, not to take away from his 19 gold medals, obviously that's an incredible accomplishment. I definitely have to say he's the greatest swimmer of all time. That's definitely hands down. So definitely no question about that. It's hard for me to put a swimmer as the greatest Olympian of all time. And the only reason I'm going to say that is everyone don't have access to swimming growing up, whereas mm-hmm. everyone runs. So, you know, when you're talking about track, everyone has got access to playing basketball growing up. Everyone runs. So it's hard for me to put a swimmer over like a track and field athlete or a runner or something like that just from that standpoint. So, you know, it's still kind of hard for me to put him over somebody like a Jesse Owens, you know, going back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody of that magnitude. Like I said, just from the simple standpoint, when you're a track and field runner and you're winning on a regular basis, like I said, everyone grows up running. Everyone doesn't grow up swimming. And so, I'm going to say no, but definitely the greatest swimmer of all time, hands down.
JQ.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that one, Rob. I mean, I hear you, but not everybody has a track to practice on. And just about every neighborhood has one pool. Like, we may not swim, you know, as a people that as much, but come on, you can still find.
But that's what I'm saying. Everybody runs. Everybody don't swim.
Man, but, 19 gold medals is 19 gold medals, bro. I got to go with 19 gold
medals. Best swimmer of all time, for sure.
Yeah, man, I know. Think about how good you have to be across multiple events and multiple disciplines within those events, you know, whether it's the breaststroke or the backstroke or the free. Like, once you had 19 gold medals, I can say about you. Like you said, you generally slow down. You have a peak of maybe one or two, but, you know, you're third or fourth, and you got 19 gold medals. I got to say he is. That, how do you argue? I mean, I get what you're saying, but I can't argue. Like, we talk about titles in the NBA and everything else, and 19 gold medals?
Yeah, that's impressive.
That's stupid.
It's kind of tough, Rob, because I think it's where Rob's coming from, too, because, I mean, the fact of the matter is that, it is swimming, and that's not a knock on the swimming aspect of it, too, but, like, I think the point is, man, 19, it's a great accomplishment. Jesse Owens kind of, like, changed the landscape as far as history, as far as culturally. I don't know if you're talking about an impact from that standpoint, Rob, and hopefully I'm not taking words from your mouth, but that's why I can see the argument with Jesse Owens, too, because you talk about somebody that just, you know, went to a freaking foreign country, Germany, just like pretty much just obliterated everybody, you know. So I can kind of see where you're coming from that too, Rob, and I'm going to give JQ credit too because 19 medals, 19 medals, man. So it's one of those things
that's
tough from both angles too, man, you know. But, I mean, not a knock. You know, I definitely agree with you guys, man. Swimming, man, that dude is night. We got to look who's got the most medals. I don't know. Is he up there with the most medals, like literally right now?
Thing we do agree on, he's the greatest swimmer of all time. That's definitely for sure. And I'm not saying Jesse Owens is the greatest Olympian of all time either. It's just that it's just hard for me to put a swimmer over somebody who runs because everybody runs. And that's the only point I was trying to make. But, you know, I definitely Michael Phelps is the greatest swimmer of all time, hands down. I don't think it's even close.
I mean, you know I want to go with Jesse. That's Ohio and everything. But, yeah, I just can't in my mind mess with it with 19 gold medals. And I get the point about everybody runs, and he's still standing head and shoulders above other people that all do the same thing in running. But, you know, it's a lot of countries that compete that put a lot of money into their swimming as well. And you go out there and give it to people like that. I mean, that's impressive.
It is, very much so. All right, speaking of swimming thing, let's talk about Katie Ledecky. She actually shattered her own world record. And like I said, guys, I'm a huge fan of, like, any type of relays. I was, like, glued to television for this. Also for the volleyball, which is pretty cool as well. But not just because I just love this type of, you know, sports like that. Not that it's one or men or men and women. I think it's great. But Rob, what's your thoughts about Katie Ledecky shattering her own world record?
Oh man, that was if you saw that race, man, that was pretty impressive. Like, man, she was almost a full body length ahead of her own record. Man, that was incredible.
Killing it.
I mean, you know, you could almost have to test her after that race. Man, that was but that was really but you know, obviously this is another example of a great swimmer, Phelps and Ledecky, making the USA proud. What an incredible swim that was. And like I said, that was just incredible to see her almost a full body lead length and a little space ahead of her own world record. So that was a phenomenal performance.
Katie, send all your emails to Robert Ford at. Yeah, good, Robert. Good.
No, that was just a joke.
It's amazing. And the swimmer I was thinking about last week was Missy Franklin, who's really come back to earth since London. She was really the sweetheart at that games. But yeah, Ledecky, if you watched any of the U.S. Olympic trials, you know, they're talking, though, we're just all happy to make second because they just gave, you know, that she was going to be the winner at the U.S. trials. And to go out there and do that with that kind of pressure on her when everybody expects her not only to win, but to win big and to then go out and win big and shatter your own record. I mean, you got to give her a ton of credit. You know, that's phenomenal. There's no other words to describe it, but a phenomenal swim.
Yeah, that's why you got to give somebody like Michael Phelps credit, too, because it seems like he's been on top of his game for all these years, and it seems like you said, JQ, like there's some women that kind of come and go, and Michael's been consistently up there just in every – he's been like kind of like setting the bar for everyone else, too. And then, you know, we've got like this one person – Katie, then you had Missy Franklin. So until somebody, you know, is able to kind of like stay ahead and kind of set the bar for everyone else, man, it's still not to like still be on Michael Phelps, but that was just kind of impressive too. But yeah, man, hopefully Katie will actually take her claim as well and do some damage as well moving forward. The medal count, U.S. still leads China and Japan right behind, you know, and so is there anything you want to talk about that to Rob as well?
Well, that's pretty much it. I know Australia is right up there when it comes to gold medals. U.S. and China are tied with 5 gold medals, and Australia is 3rd with 4. But as far as overall medal count, United States 19, China 13, Japan 10. And that's pretty up to date, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I was looking at it, too. Anything you want to talk about that, JQ?
Yeah, I mean, you know, surprising. It starts to slow down some in the gold medals when you guys start doing some of the track and field because, you know, those Caribbean nations are start cleaning up too. But I still think the medal will probably be more silver and bronze than those. But you also got to figure they got ones coming with the men's and women's basketball team with gymnastics as well. So I think they're still going to probably end up winning the overall medal count. I mean, we're so big, we should.
Absolutely.
every time I think about that, guys, when I watch the opening ceremony, and it's kind of cool to see like the athletes for each country. And there's always a couple of, you know, countries with like one or two athletes. I'm like, oh man, you kind of feel for that person because the whole nation is kind of depending on that one or two athletes. Like, oh man, I hope they pull it out, man. But anyway, it's just one of those things. I think about for medal count, like, man, I hope they get like one or two something because it's like the weight of the world is on your shoulders.
Yeah, kind of pressure.
All right. Yeah, so speaking of that, still there's some fans that are upset with Ukraine for throwing the final in men's team gymnastics. Didn't hear a lot about this, Rob, so I'm going to kind of still defer to you, man. So I know we're kind of letting you lead everything, but what are your thoughts about this particular story?
Well, I think everyone in the that was competing, even all the other countries that was competing in this competition, not only the fans, but they were extremely upset. You know, that they took a spot away from another team that could have been competing, particularly a country like Switzerland that was very involved in competing to get in that final round as well. And Ukraine just automatically gave themselves a zero once they got to the final round. I mean, I think it was a complete and utterly embarrassment for them to even come and compete in the Olympics and to do that. And so, you know, hopefully we don't get any hate from Ukraine, but shame on Ukraine for pulling that stunt in these Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, you're violating the spirit of what this is supposed to be about. You know, the amateur athletics and the integrity of representing your country and this, that, and the other. That's just shameful. I mean, there's not a whole lot else to say about it. It's shameful. I mean,
yep.
come on, do better.
Poor sportsmanship.
Than that. Absolutely. That's bad.
I concur. So Michael Phelps, we got halfway in the show, guys. So Michael Phelps ate about a pound of spaghetti after winning the relay race last night. Once again, Rob, I'm sure there's some type of hook for this particular topic. Go ahead, man.
Well, man, I mean, don't you wish, man, you can eat that much, man, and still be in the tip-top shape? I mean, come on, I want to be able to. But, you know, this is just amazing the way these swimmers, the amount of calories that they have to eat. You know, it's incredible. I mean, Michael Phelps would tell you that he even has to eat like a whole pizza pie or two some occasions. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, man, I wish I could eat like that, man, and still be in tip-top condition or tip-top shape. So it's just amazing the amount of calories that they have to put into their systems on a daily basis for being a swimmer.
Thank you.
Yeah, the thing about it, though, is the flip side is that you burn so many. That dude probably was so weak he was wobbling that he had to eat to get those carbs in his system just to feel better. But, yeah, like when they're burning, 10,000 calories or something crazy doing that. So I can totally believe that he ate a pound of spaghetti. And he's a big dude anyway. You know, he's not a small guy. I totally believe that. It is amazing to sit down and say, okay, put a pound of spaghetti on a plate in the middle of it, and this dude is going to eat every piece of it. It's almost like man versus food or some kind of craziness like that. Like, he gets a free T-shirt and a hat for doing that. Like, it's nuts. But, yeah, totally. It's amazing what they are able to push their bodies to do and what they have to do to recover.
And, you know, the funny thing is he said he had to force himself to eat it because he doesn't even like spaghetti, but he knew he needed that amount of carbs, that amount of calories in his system, to recover. And to also help him to go forward. So, I mean, he said he doesn't even like spaghetti. He had to force feed him. Now, pizza, he said he doesn't have a problem with it. But the spaghetti, he's not even a fan, but he had to force himself to put that amount of calories into the system.
That's
nobody's crying, Michael Phelps. Nobody's crying for you. All right, it's all good. But I think it's interesting, too, guys, because, you know, I would, after the training is over, that's whenever I would get scared. I'm like, dude, man, I got to keep up that calorie count, man. That's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, he's a tall guy, as you said, JQ, man, so you got to fill all those calories for sure. All right, so we're sort of wrapping this up. And a good note in that, let's talk about I want to add a quick moment before we talk about the best Olympic sport to watch on TV. And this is just a memory that I had, and there's so many memories. I'm just going to throw my favorite memories was in Atlanta. Remember Michael Johnson had the gold shoes, man, and he was scooting down the track, man. That was just one of those things I just always remember vividly. One of my quick moments here. So I don't think we'll talk about that in addition to your favorite Olympic sport. And I'll start it off with you, JQ, and thoughts about that, sir.
Well, you know, I'm controversial and I like the ridiculous that happens. And the one that stands out for me the most is Ben Johnson beating Carl Lewis and then getting stripped when he tested dirty. I mean, it is. It's just one of those iconic ones that sticks out with me. Like, I remember, Jackie Joyner Kersee and Flo-Jo with the nails and all that stuff. But you said that, the first thing that came to my mind was Ben Johnson cheating to beat Carl Lewis. And then that ties to my favorite one. It's not one particular one, but, you know, back in the day I did run a little track. So it's track and field period for me. You know, I like the one, I like the two, I like the four, and all the relays for all of those. So for me, it's track and field is my favorite.
Nice. What about you, Rob?
Well, going back to one of the most memorable Olympics, it goes back to, in my opinion, 1984. Carl Lewis had a dominating performance in Los Angeles. Mary Lou Retton had a dominating performance in gymnastics. That was a very memorable Olympic year as well. Even from a basketball standpoint, Michael Jordan, obviously still in college at that time, leading the USA team to victory there in 1984. And, of course, you can't forget about the Dream Team. That was that just put basketball on a huge stage around the globe, 1992, in Barcelona. Mm-hmm. So as far as memorable, that was very huge. But obviously the big sports during the Olympics, obviously, that don't get a lot of notoriety throughout the years, track and field, swimming, gymnastics, and you can even throw volleyball in there. My favorites probably to watch will probably be, not to take anything away from swimming and gymnastics, but I would have to put track and field, volleyball, and basketball is still my favorite as far as to watch.
Yeah, I just a dirty old man. You just want to watch volleyball so you can see those chicks in those short shorts.
I knew you were
going to
say that, bro. I knew you were going to say that, too, man.
You're telling on yourself, JQ.
I'm telling on all of us.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm watching volleyball right now just to make sure I can understand the team concept and to make sure that I'm really aware of what's happening in all aspects. It gives you better understanding of the game. There you go.
let's go with that. In their particular box.
It's a sport,
oh,
bro.
Man.
It's a sport. Speaking of basketball, my favorite is track and field too, guys. I love track and field, swimming, you know, anything. Anything that's kind of unique, man. I know this is kind of crazy, man, and I thought about this because I was listening to another sports talk show. And I guess one guy got banned for doing cannonballs. I was like, man, we need to have like a cannonball Olympic, and that would be hilarious, man. So jumping in there, man. So, anyway, you better like cannonball. I feel like the biggest cannonball. Anyway, oh man.
Well, you're crazy.
I digress. I digress. Let's talk about some basketball here. The Team USA starts out slow, but they eventually catch on and end up beating Venezuela by 44 points. Anything you want to talk about that particular thing, Rob? Just once again, the USA should kind of like cakewalk for the gold.
Yeah, absolutely. I watched a good bit of that game today, and they definitely started the game off very sluggish. And I almost want to say they probably took Venezuela lightly early in that game, but they finally got it going. Paul George came off the bench, was phenomenal, had 20 points. He did a lot on the defensive end as well. Klay Thompson was scoreless. He missed a lot of open threes. And I don't know. I don't know if he's upset that the Warriors bringing in Kevin Durant's going to take some shots away from him.
No.
But he didn't look like the same player watching that game. You know, he's been off these first couple of games in the Olympics period. But they get a big test. Australia is really strong in basketball. I mean, they got a really good chance to medal in basketball with Matthew Dellavedova and Patty Mills. They're running a great ball control offense. They're swinging the ball around. Andrew Bogut's doing a solid job for him as well, passing the ball. So I expect the U.S. to still win, but this will obviously be the toughest test coming forward, going against Australia, who's been playing extremely well so far in these Olympics.
Yeah, but the only way that happens is if they do the same thing against Venezuela and just come out there sleepwalking, because the guys you named are good seventh and eighth guys on a team.
In
the
NBA.
They got a good NBA bench team. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if the U.S. comes out and plays, and what's fascinating to me to watch about this USA team, as everyone since the Dream Team kind of has tried to take on its own identity, is the way they're playing defense. DeAndre Jordan in the middle of the paint is just acting an idiot. And and you got PG out there on the perimeter also playing solid D as well. I am enjoying the fact that they're actually locking in, and you got to probably give Thibodeau some credit for that as well, the defensive mastermind for the USA basketball. But I found it amazing when something that takes the most effort, like rebounding and defense, is what they're hanging their hat on, as opposed to just, you know, they're doing some freewheeling. But you look at them totally what they've been doing and how they've really been winning, absent their biggest stars and LeBron and Curry, they've been playing for that. They've been playing fantastic defense. And I think they're going to have to definitely keep that up. But then they also can't come in and take anybody for granted, because those guys, even though they're a bench team, they are still NBA players on that team. And any given night, if you don't come prepared to play, you know, they'll knock you off.
Yeah. And another thing about this team, too, is that 8 of the 12 players are all 6'7", 6'8", taller. So they're very athletic. They're long. And as JQ mentioned, this team defends the basketball extremely well. So it's going to be a test. Obviously, Australia is running a solid motion offense. And so we'll definitely, but I still think the U.S. could win by at least 20 points. I don't think you'll see a 44-point victory like we did against Venezuela. I don't think we'll see a 60-point victory like we did against China. So I still expect us to win this game. But Australia will hang around for a little bit.
Can I ask a real quick question real fast?
That dude,
Ya Lin, the one that I think that was going against like the chair when he got drafted, like he's been putting up points against the United States. And he scored like 23 points, I think, against us. And he scored some in some of those qualifying events they did. Like, how is this dude doing this against us? He can't stay in the NBA. I just thought that fascinating. Like, what's happening?
Well, based on the knowledge that that I've heard was that the reason why he hadn't stayed in the NBA is because his work ethic was pretty bad. And so maybe he'll get another shot. Maybe somebody will give him another shot after seeing him compete in these Olympics. And I know the Milwaukee Bucks drafted one of those Chinese players in the second round. So we'll see if they sit him out for a few years before they bring him over or if he comes over this year.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, and that's tough. If you're playing, I mean, how do you beat this USA team? If you're, like, coaching against them, do you say, all right, guys, let's just play four corners, you know, kind of like take the ball out? I mean, how would you beat the USA team?
You have to get hot from the three-point line. You got to get, like, two or three guys where Patty Mills can get going, and Dellavedova Dova is streaky, but you got to get two guys going and just come down and get unconscious from the three-point line. That's a great equalizer. I think that's the only way to answer your question, that you beat the USA, is somebody just gets unreasonably warm one of those days and goes, like, 8 of 10 from the three-point line.
Well, yeah, I think that, and the second thing is you can't turn over the basketball. This USA teams are going to force a lot of turnovers with their length and their athletic ability. So if you're going to have any shot at beating them, you got to take care of the basketball. You can't turn the basketball over. If you give this USA team a ton of extra possession, you have no chance.
Agreed.
Good call. Good call. All right, gentlemen, we got 3 minutes here to go. We're going to switch to some baseball. And A-Rod, I know you put retire or not. I think he's going to retire. Just let it go. That's Andre's thoughts. But Rob, being the A-Rod, being the Yankee fan, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, I hope he just hangs it up because I don't, you know, hopefully he just goes to hang it up. But there are some rumors out there that he still wants to play, and this is almost like a forced retirement. Obviously, he's going to stay involved in the Yankees organization. They say he's got a real good impact on some of the young players in the organization. But, you know, I'm hoping that he just goes ahead and hangs it up. He's 41 years old. I mean, I don't think there's anything else. I mean, obviously, he's had a lot of controversy over his career. The Yankees are giving you an opportunity to, you know, stay within the organization. You know, I'll say just go ahead and hang it up and call it quits.
Take care.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the thing where you can't give these guys these 8-year deals and be paying them $20-something million when they're 40 and 41 years old. And hopefully baseball will have learned this lesson. The Angels got the same problem with Pujols. He's starting to slow down as well, which is still owing big money until his early 40s. A-Rod was his own, you know, worst enemy for the most part. He couldn't get out of his own way. He had a phenomenal talent, but he was just, you know, in between the ears. He just didn't have it all the time. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how history treats A-Rod, because he's got crazy numbers, but we also have the steroid allegations, but not to the same level of a Barry Bonds or a Mark McGwire. So, you know, a couple of years as he gets away from the game and gets removed, I wonder how history is going to treat him, because he's got good numbers, but, you know, he caused a lot of controversy, like Rob said.
Mm. All right, Rob, 2 minutes. Go ahead and do the OT, sir.
And before I do the OT, I'll just add one quick comment. And with so much controversy with steroids in baseball, I think those guys should go to the Hall of Fame. Right? Stop holding those guys back. 90% of the league was on steroids. I mean, baseball is a problem. And they should go ahead and put those guys. Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. Mark McGwire should be in the Hall of Fame. Put those guys in. Stop holding them back. It was baseball fault that those guys were doing that all that time. But really quick, we got some – but our OT portion, we still got a lot we're going to cover. We got some college football. We got some NFL. We got to get JQ's rant about the Hall of Fame game last night. So we're going to definitely cover that. So you definitely don't want to miss our OT portion. We got a lot to cover. Click on the same link on tomorrow. You won't be disappointed. It'll be a lot of good stuff. Write us. Let us know if you like it, dislike what we're saying. Give us some feedback. Follow us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you'll get some great information throughout the week. We'll be back on next Monday night. I'm assuming that's okay with the fellas. 11 p.m. Yep. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Yep. Central. For our friends in Germany, that's going to be Tuesday morning at 5 a.m. Don't miss it. Tune in.
JQ.
Hashtag chicks dig the long ball. Baseball definitely knew what they were doing. Appreciate everybody for listening in. And if you want to get on there and wish me a happy birthday on Thursday, please feel free. I'm a Leo. I'll take all the attention I can get.
Happy birthday to JQ. That's right, man.
Happy birthday, bro.
Trouble too, bro. Yeah, man. That's what's up, man.
Don't drink too much.
I love it, man.
What's the problem with that?
He's gonna be lit. You gotta, yeah. Just don't take any pictures like Jermon, okay?
I'm all the way up. we ain't gonna do that, bro.
No, sir. Hey, definitely don't post him on the 12th Talking Sports with the 12th Man page either.
Nah, I'm not gonna get down like that.
If you do that on your personal page.
don't do that at all. It's what you just
say. That's some wise advice right there. We are officially in the OT portion right about now. And JQ, I'm gonna let you have the floor, sir, and just do your rant about the Hall of Fame, man. Go ahead, sir.
Listen, you got to understand also for me, and they got the preview to my rant earlier. But being from Ohio, we only really get the Hall of Fame game, and because of course the Browns and the Bengals suck, so we don't really get a whole lot of playoff, championship hoorah. So we got the Hall of Fame inductions, and we got the Hall of Fame game. It's the first preseason game of the year. This is a billion-dollar industry. How in God's name do you not test the paint? Like, I don't understand how you didn't take the paint to an indoor facility somewhere, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Who makes the decision on the fly that, you know what, I ain't never bought this paint before and we ain't never used it in an NFL game, but I feel good about it. I'm just going to buy it today and we're going to use it. Like, who does that? That dude is fired. Whoever came up with that decision is fired. His cube was cleaned out. They probably already Febreze it and put the Lysol on it. They've already put the job on, glass doors and LinkedIn. So if you're looking to get into equipment operations, you got some experience, go to NFL.com/jobs, because I'm sure that job is open now. Because that dude is good and fired. That's just – they lost millions of dollars in ad revenue alone. That dude is fired, and he ain't the only one. It's a couple people that fired, maybe a whole department. They got fired. They cleaned the house.
I'm not a Donald Trump fan, but you're fired.
Yeah, you're fired. You're fired, bro. You knew you was fired as soon as we canceled the game.
He's like, you might as well turn it in. I got to turn it in. That was terrible. I got to turn it in. Man, we were all hooked up to have football, and it's normally a great segue after such a great ceremony to go right into the game, man. So just like you said, JQ, you lost revenue, you lost ad revenue, you lost revenue for people, for stadiums, for people visiting. That come visit and tour to go to the Hall of Fame, to see that, then go to the game. I mean, it was just a colossal failure, and I agree with you. I mean, I don't know if you can – we're obviously going to recover, but it's just not for that weekend for that. That could have been, whatever. Maybe they were just drunk because of the Cavaliers. I don't know. It just didn't
jive with me.
They should
be over that by now.
Go ahead. You cannot just go say, I'm going to go to Ace and buy this paint today, and we ain't never tried it on the field where they're going to play an NFL game. Like, you just can't get, you can't go get the true value paint that you've never tested before. Like, you can't do that. Like, who makes that decision?
We'd love to have you as a sponsor, True Value and Ace, by the way. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's straight up ridiculous, man. Of all reasons to cancel a game is because of some paint. The paint being too hard, I mean, not weather. Not because of a tornado, not because of a hurricane, not because of a blizzard. Paint. That's got to be the first time
paint?
In NFL history a game that's been canceled.
You talking about paint?
We're talking about paint. We're talking about football. Paint. And obviously football fans across America, even though the starters are only going to play one series in this Hall of Fame game, that's what they always do, one series, then they out. Because they have to play a fifth preseason game. But football fans are still excited to get that little taste of football since February, since we've actually seen some football other than like draft highlights and things of that nature. So, I mean, this is football fans' start of the season. So, obviously, this is a big disappointment. But forget about the paint, but also from an NFL standpoint, they reimburse everyone the price of the ticket. But here's the problem. A lot of people travel to this game to come to this game. And I think the NFL should have looked into that as well. A lot of these people should be getting reimbursed for a lot more than just tickets. And so, I mean, there's travel, there's airplane tickets, there's hotels. There's a lot of things that's involved in this that these people spend money and didn't get to go to the game. Gas, absolutely, for those people that drove, absolutely.
They might be looking at a class action lawsuit. They might be.
Could be.
Those people might get together and do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point, Rob.
Yep. Last topic. I know I wanted to add this on there, but we just wanted to let you have your moment there, JQ. But really quickly, I want to talk about. No, you're fine. No, that's perfect. It's perfect. We got about 10 minutes here. I want to talk about Ken Griffey Jr., how he saved baseball in Seattle, and I'll let you have the floor of this, Rob, but I just want to say my little personal thing. I was a huge Jr. fan. I just thought he was, like, one of the coolest guys, and I don't know, he could – I never met him, but just, you know, the way that he was, like, you know, carried himself, I thought he was, like, you know, one of my favorite players growing up too, man. So I can see how that's being said, but I know you kind of – I mean, he's one of my favorite. I had, like, a lot of favorite players too, but he was just, like, one of my guys too, man. But tell us about – this particular topic, Rob, about he said baseball in Seattle.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Mariners finally just retired his jersey here a few nights ago, and I'm trying to figure out what took so long.
Right.
But not only did he save baseball in Seattle, he was a big reason. He helped save baseball, period, after the strike in 1994. I mean, you're talking about a player who was a tremendous outfielder who could go run and catch anything that was in his area and had one of the prettiest baseball swings I've ever seen. I mean, so you're talking about an all-around baseball player. He's definitely one of the best of all time that I've seen. I'm just trying to figure out what took Seattle so long to retire his jersey. And like I said, he helped save baseball because the Mariners were on the verge of moving. And, I mean, they were struggling at the box office. And he came along and helped that team, get some notoriety. And, helped them with selling tickets and things of that nature. But he also helped baseball after the strike in 1994 as well.
JQ?
Oh, man, you know, this hits home for me. Where to start? Like, I had the poster of him and his dad when they both played in the outfield in Seattle on my wall when I was growing up.
Nice.
I still have my
nice.
That greenish Seattle Mariner Griffey 24 jersey that I bought when I was 17. Like, I still have that. Him being, his dad being on the Big Red Machine and the ties of Cincinnati, and for people that don't know, Rob and Dre definitely know that I'm a jersey nut, and I probably have about 7 different Griffey jerseys in my closet right now, including that Seattle one.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely, and I don't understand what took so long for Seattle to retire his number. But that swing is what I will always remember in his hat turn backwards and, doing it without any steroid allegations and hitting 50 home runs. And playing a fantastic defensive center field. I mean, he was a revolutionary in the game of baseball. I just wish that it worked out a little bit better. We got hurt a lot in Cincinnati when we finally got him home. Yeah. But, yeah, I love Ken Griffey Jr. I was in here in my Duck Kid T-shirt and in my Griffey jersey watching the ceremony with him and Mike Piazza. So, love Ken Griffey. And, yeah, he definitely helped put Seattle back on the map and started that with him and them getting a young A-Rod and Randy Johnson and kind of building that Mariners team back up. But, yeah, phenomenal talent, Ken Griffey Jr.
And I was just going to wrap that up, too, because, like I said, I know he got a little flack for wearing his hat backwards, but, because he was kind of revolutionary in that particular regard, too, because that was kind of his signature thing, man. So I know a lot of players started doing that and, but he was such a good kid that, he had a little flack, but they're like, oh, okay, kid, so I give him credit for kind of being a trendsetter from that vantage point. And like you said, on the Atlanta side, I know there was an opportunity for the Braves to get him, but I think he wanted to kind of keep his legacy in Seattle because there was a thought that was going to happen, but he was just a good guy. I was like, no, I'll keep my legacy in Seattle. And it kind of hurt me because I was like, man, we could get Ken Griffey Jr. and just because of what happened with him trying to keep his, like I said, his name in Seattle, it didn't work out, but, anyway, just one of those little stories that I wanted to throw out there too. But good call. Just like you said, an awesome, awesome guy. All right, Rob, I'm going to let you talk about this, the groups about sending their letter to Big 12 urging them not to add BYU. So I guess you can talk about your 25 LGBT groups about that, sir.
Yeah, I'll try to get through this pretty quickly. Obviously, this is a very sensitive topic, but there's 25 LGBT groups urging. The Big 12 is looking to expand, to actually get up to 12. Actually, they only have 10 teams in their conference right now, and they still call themselves the Big 12. But they're trying to expand. BYU is a candidate. Obviously, there's some other candidates, Cincinnati, Connecticut, Houston. Also, some in Memphis, I believe, as well, are some candidates to expand. A lot of people in the conference is leaning toward BYU. Obviously, BYU being a very strict religious school, and obviously they don't believe, obviously, they don't support LGBT at all. And the Big 12 already has two, you know, Christian schools already with TCU and Baylor. But they removed all discrimination against LGBT, which BYU is refusing to do. And so they're urging the Big 12 to not add them. Obviously, this is a sensitive topic. You know, I don't want to go into what my views are on this, but obviously this is a very sensitive topic. And so it's going to be interesting to see and how the Big 12 move forward, because BYU is definitely one of their top choices.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll keep it short. We're going to see where rubber meets the road right now, because BYU is going to bring – it's the biggest money candidate of the ones that they're considering that will come right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to put values over money or money over values. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Absolutely.
5 minutes. 5 minutes, gentlemen. So speaking of the Big 12, let's go right into the Big 12 preview. Mr. Rob, kick it off.
Well, yeah, obviously the Big 12 or 10 teams, that is, whatever you want to call it. But I'll just start off with Texas. Texas is a team to watch. I don't think they're going to win the conference, but I think they're going to be a whole lot better this year. I think they could really surprise, win 8-9 games. I think they're going to win it by a strong ground game and defense. I think Charlie Strong is going to have them playing really good, and he's on a hot seat too, so he really needs to have a good year. I think teams that could disappoint in the conference, Oklahoma State, they got four tough road games at TCU, at Baylor, at Kansas State, at Oklahoma. They're capable of winning one or two of those, but I think this is going to set them back having those four tough games on the road. The game of the year in the conference, I think, is going to decide the Big 12 championship. Baylor at Oklahoma, they're the two best teams in the conference this year, November 12th. I look for Oklahoma to win that. I think overall, I mean, I know Andre don't like Bob Stoops, but I can't pick a. I got to go with Oklahoma as far as winning the conference, and I think this game is going to decide the conference. Players to watch in the conference: Deontay Foreman, running back for Texas; Fish Smithson, safety from Kansas; linebacker Traven Howard, TCU; linebacker Jordan Evans, Oklahoma; defensive end Jordan Willis, Kansas State. I mentioned Charlie Strong is on the hot seat. Other coaches on the hot seat. Cliff Kingsbury, Texas Tech; Dana Holgorsen has got to get some defense up there in West Virginia; and David Beatty in Kansas. Top pro prospects in the conference: wide receiver K.D. Cannon. Baylor's got another top-notch wide receiver prospect up there in Baylor. Defensive tackle Charles Walker, Oklahoma. Running back Samaje Perine, Oklahoma. Safety Stephen Parker, Oklahoma. And wide receiver James Washington, Oklahoma State. And that's my quick Big 12 preview.
Dang, quick. Go ahead, JQ. What you got, bro?
Yeah, and I was going for one thing that he didn't say. Two words, Baker Mayfield. And that's why I'm going with Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to that magic. And like you talked about, the other stars you just talked about. But Baker Mayfield, when you get an elite quarterback in college football, you are a step above most of everybody else in your conference, especially if they don't have an elite quarterback. So I'm going to go with Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Jake, so Rob, let's wrap this bad boy up. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show, man. Got a minute.
All right. We'll be back on next Monday night. Sorry we couldn't get to the ACC and the SEC. I promise you we will get to it before the season starts, and we will get to the AFC North and maybe another division or so next week too. So we will catch up and get all this done before the season. So you definitely want to keep tuning in to catch those previews. So definitely next week, join us Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha, that's going to be 5 p.m.
Aloha.
On next Monday night. Definitely tune in. We're going to have Olympics, and we got a lot of football previews to get into. So that's mainly what we're going to be talking about on next week. Don't forget to tune in.
That was
on
so
Ohio.
Long. Do better.
Yeah, do better, Ohio.
Do better.
Damn it. Do better. Appreciate y'all. Do better, Ohio. Talk to y'all next Monday.
RG3, name starting QB of the Browns.
Yeah.
Eagle, Ohio.
Well, that's pretty there it is.
Yeah, let's get excited about that.
I'm just curious. I hope he makes a comeback, man. I was a fan of his growing up, man. I'm just saying, I hope he does.
I
don't. Things, man. So that's my. I know. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not saying it's like, you know, you like the player, you want him to do things, but I mean, not against. Okay, enough said. Anyway,
I understand where JQ is coming from. He probably don't hate RG3, but he hates the Browns.
And right.
There it is.
Kind of
right.
Like me with Michael Vick. It's not that I hated Michael Vick, but I hate the Falcons. So
there
it's like
go.
One of those kind of things. So
yeah,
I understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, I did not want to do well at all.
Yeah, I got you. I got words for you, Robert, after this call, bro. We'll talk later, bro.